In the fog-shrouded streets of 1817 Edinburgh, the line between life and death blurs with each passing night. Lady Hazel Sinnott's nimble fingers were made for more than embroidery hoops and piano keys. They itch to hold surgical tools, to explore the mysteries beneath human skin. While other young noblewomen prepare for marriage, Hazel secretly studies medical texts by candlelight, dreaming of a future society would never permit. When she confidently sutures the kitchen cook's sliced palm, applying sterilization techniques decades ahead of her time, we glimpse her natural talent, a gift that will either elevate her beyond her station or destroy her completely. But in a world where women are barred from medical education, how far would you go to pursue your calling? Would you disguise yourself, rob graves, or form dangerous alliances with those society deemed beneath you? For Hazel, the answer is clear. She would risk everything, even her life, to hold a scalpel in an operating theater. You will be an unmarried woman with no income of your own, dependent on the charity of your relatives. Lady Sinnott's harsh assessment cuts deep, yet Hazel refuses this path. When Bernard tears up an anatomy advertisement with casual cruelty, something hardens within her. If the front door to medical knowledge is locked, she'll find another entrance. Disguising herself as George Hazelton, Hazel infiltrates Dr. Beecham's lectures, witnessing revolutionary ethereum anesthetic for painless surgery. Her double life grows perilous, speaking lower, binding her chest, adopting masculine postures, while maintaining her proper lady appearance at home. When Dr. Beecham announces an examination for the Royal Physician Society, Hazel sees her chance for legitimate recognition, despite her deception. The physical toll mirrors the emotional weight, constant vigilance, fear of exposure, and exhaustion. Yet in those lecture halls, dissecting cadavers alongside men who never question her presence, she experiences a freedom making every risk worthwhile. Remarkable how a simple change of clothing transforms how the world values a mind. 2 guineas and a crown for a fresh adult, 3 for a pregnant woman. In Edinburgh's shadow economy, human remains are traded as commodities. Jack Kerr, 17, supplies cadavers to medical schools with pragmatic detachment. The wealthy protect their dead with iron cages, while the poor sometimes post sentinels until bodies decompose. For Jack, it's simply survival in a class-divided city. When Jack and Hazel partner, she needs bodies for study, he needs money, their collaboration bridges separate worlds. Their first grave-robbing expedition is visceral: damp earth, careful extraction of a shrouded corpse, and the tense journey to Hazel's laboratory. The experience unexpectedly bonds them across social boundaries. Something sinister lurks beneath Edinburgh's cobblestones. Resurrection men are disappearing, including Jack's partner Muro. Not just graves are being robbed, living people are vanishing too. The city's most vulnerable are being harvested for something worse than anatomical study. As Jack investigates, he's drawn into a conspiracy threatening his livelihood and life. What price would you pay for knowledge when the currency is human flesh? Blood-filled boils, intense fever, and delirium mark the mysterious Roman fever sweeping through Edinburgh with terrifying efficiency. The disease empties theaters, closes markets, and disrupts social functions. While wealth provides better care through private physicians and country estates, the disease recognizes no class distinctions. Lords and laborers alike succumb, challenging Victorian hierarchies. When patients arrive at Hawthornden Passel seeking treatment, Hazel transforms her ancestral home into an impromptu hospital. She methodically documents symptoms, progression, and treatments, combining scientific rigor with practical compassion. While established physicians dismiss folk remedies as women's nonsense, Hazel discovers that wort flower root tea significantly improves survival rates. Her integration of traditional knowledge with modern techniques yields superior results. Her first patient death becomes a pivotal growth moment. Holding a young woman's hand as fever claims her life, Hazel confronts medicine's fundamental limitation. Sometimes death prevails despite our best efforts. This transforms her from student to healer, teaching her that medical practice requires not just knowledge, but the emotional fortitude to face failure without surrendering to despair. At what price does medical advancement come? Dr. Beecham initially appears as a visionary. His Ethereum anesthesia allows painless amputations instead of excruciating torture. Yet beneath Edinburgh's streets, his experiments reveal the darkest aspects of medical progress divorced from ethics. When Hazel discovers Beecham transplanting eyes from kidnapped children to wealthy patients, the horror becomes clear. His justification, "I've saved thousands of lives," echoes how scientific progress has often been built upon hidden suffering. His targeting of society's most vulnerable shows how dehumanization enables atrocity. The poor and destitute, he dismisses, the city had already killed them. Beecham's revelation as an immortal, harvesting organs for generations, represents the ultimate corruption of medical ethics. His body, a grotesque patchwork of mismatched parts, reflects his internal moral decay. In contrast, Hazel prioritizes compassionate care over experimental glory, even missing her royal physician's examination to investigate Beecham. Through her journey, we confront a question: how often do we still sacrifice the vulnerable for progress? Despite its macabre setting, this story explores how love transforms us. Hazel's relationships with Bernard and Jack reveal the contrast between socially prescribed bonds and authentic connection. Bernard's public proposal without warning shows how her consent is secondary to convention, while his betrayal of Jack to protect family reputation demonstrates his commitment to social hierarchies over human life. Hazel and Jack's relationship evolves from mutual utility to genuine connection through shared danger and respect. Their first kiss in a freshly dug grave perfectly captures the novel's blend of romance and mortality. Unlike Bernard, who seeks to limit Hazel's medical ambitions, Jack recognizes her brilliance. "You're the most brilliant person I've ever met." Jack's refusal of the immortality tonic that could save him from hanging, unwilling to watch Hazel age while he remained young, shows a love transcending self-preservation. His final words, "My heart is yours, Hazel Sinnott, forever," beating or still, emphasizes that love, like anatomy, is about what lies beneath the surface, the essential truth beyond social position or physical form. A weathered, unsigned letter arrives at Hawthornden Castle from New York. "My beating heart is still yours, and I'll be waiting for you." This suggests Jack survived his hanging, perhaps through Beecham's immortality tonic, and escaped to America, proving death's boundary remains permeable. Hazel has transformed Hawthornden into a proper hospital, where she treats fever patients with remarkable success. Brewing wortroot tea and sharpening knives, she's found her purpose. Her development of an inoculation represents her ongoing contribution to medicine, even without formal recognition. The letter above her workstation has become a talisman, read so often she sees the script with closed eyes. Like medical knowledge, love persists beyond conventional limitations. Just as Hazel pursued medicine despite gender barriers, her connection with Jack transcends his apparent execution. In a world that dictates our limitations, perhaps the most revolutionary act is refusing those boundaries, examining the constraints society places upon us, and cutting through them with a surgeon's precision.